come to your, the Department of Social Development, as well as the CEO of FASA and General will go to the police and then last comrade will introduce themselves. So I will hand over to the DG and the commission to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Zain Dango. I'm recently appointed as the Director General of the Department of Social Development. Not new to the department, though. The Chief of Pressure Office in 2010, so that was the last time I came to Scopa. The team will introduce themselves.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Tageli Wachauke. I am the CFO of SAP.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my name is Chozan Makwaza. I'm the CEO of SAS.
Good morning, my name is Clifford Apple. I'm the CFO of Police Department.
Good morning, my name is Rapasha Ramokopa. I'm the Executive Manager for Strategy SAS.
Good morning, my name is Osben Masilla, I'm the Chief Director of the Options at DG.
Good morning, Chairman and Members. My name is Brenton Confrida, Acting DG for Social Security in the Department.
Good morning, my name is Sarishtang, I'm from National Treasury.
Good morning, my name is Tim Riggi, the Vice for the National Treasury.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Mark Fitch, National Treasury.
Good morning. My name is Ingrid Mohai. I'm the PLO of the Department of Social Development.
Good morning. morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. My name is Lawrence van Vieren. I'm the business executive in the Auditor General responsible for this portfolio.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Kupen Ganga, and I'm from the Auditor General. I'm the Manager of Social Development.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm Tandas Mutlamil, the National Head of the Hawks.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my name is Diane Elvake, I'm the Section Head of Anti-Corruption Tactics in the DPSA. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, good
morning, Chair. I'm Nyame Delipoy, member of the committee. Switch up your mic, Chair.
Morning, Chair. My name is Saikike Gagna, member of this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson and colleagues. My name is Tabele Chion, member of the committee.
Solomon Patrick Eko Mapino. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee of Social Development.
Good morning, Chair. It's a broader statement from the Scrap Committee.
Good morning, Chair. Of the members. My name is Bridget Matango, member of the Portfolio Committee of Social Development.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Mona Nimanke, Kamalam, Mokim Rosundi, TV Committee, the Social Development. Thank you.
So we therefore want to that's why I want to put it to detail. And I think that's what we're doing in general today. So that we can go into those details and see how officials take that from. And if you as a DG do not act on the official side of to all of that kind of people, what does that arise? Why should you remain where you are? Why is the minister out here? We'll then look at him and say, but why do you keep the chance? For the good things that I think. If she can't, then we'll go to the speaker, because we're here talking about the speaker. That minister is not doing the job. And the committee will feel not doing the job. And Parliament will decide. Because we can't have a situation where year in and year out we lament about the same thing. When the law is clear about what should happen, somehow to be operating on a revenge here that refuses to do the right thing. I'm sure you would have noted there was a call about expanding the powers of the concession. I take that as a disparation. That year in and year out, we say this is what is wrong. And we have nobody who is interested in such a thing. So, the AG was like the public protector, recommendations will now be for the group. That's a bad reflection on us. We just can't be able to do the right thing on our own unless we're pushed. But rather, if you are going to be pushed, then it's on the Parliament that pushes you. And Parliament through and that's why you see the challenges of the government. You want to be there. You're always there. Able to discuss the issues where we are convinced that there is a prophetic case for fraud and corruption, we're going to ask him to take that particular issue for investigation. So if you determine whether there is criminality or not, if there is criminality, then there is health. If not, in the particular sphere, so the fire is here. Well, we'll see in general whether today we're going to come up with cases. In the past, yes, we've been able to pick up one or two that we prepared to hear. So we'll see what happens today. So I'm just saying that is the context, so that we understand that we're not going through our usual annual ritual. Sitting in front of so I think that is the context. Now, comrades, I want you to make a request, especially our comrades from the Constitutional Committee. I think what we would request you to do is that as a comrade who is assigned to lead the discussion, continue. If there are issues that you think you want to make follow up with, just note them down. We want him to do his part and finish it when it's done, and come back and allow you to ask anything that relates to that, so that he can finish whatever he meant. That's how we want to do it, so that we're able to. Now, we will start with Sasa, the South African Social Security Agency. Right. raising your hand.
Thank you, Chair. We're not going to social development first. Okay. Thank you, Chair. It's a nice full room today, Chair. So I just want to confirm who is here. The DDG is here. The DG is here. And so you are the CEO of SASA. Okay, so you're the accounting officer for SASA.
I am.
All right, great. Let's then get into the meat of the matter. You'll just have to forgive me. I'm working from my computer because it's not in those groups. We issued a set of questions to SASA, and we asked that those who responded to and broken down as to the various breakups of this 1.1 million rand expenditures that were regularly spent. Are you familiar with the document that you sent back to us?
Yes, sir.
The one up behind you?
Yes, sir. Okay. I am familiar with it.
I just want to make sure
if
we go to your page 9 of that report, let's get straight into the details. I don't know who's been trying that. Alright, no,
I think comrade will page through.
Yes. Okay. This is the first chunk of the regular expenditure. Now, this was an amount that was paid, which was initially approved by the AG, and then subsequently rejected by the AG's regular expenditure, and that position, despite your objections, was confirmed by Treasury. So on that basis, I'd like to delve into this expenditure. You have responded to it. My first question is where is Virginia Pizza?
Her contract expired at the end of May, on the 15th of May, so she's no longer with us.
You didn't think it was a good idea to bring her along today because she presided over this payment?
I was not too sure how we're going to deal with it because she's no longer the employee of the government. She may not the one that was when they're asking some other questions, she was referring everything back to the department that she's no longer the member. Any question that is asked from her, she says that we must deal with it. So we felt that we might as well come in because as a CEO, I take charge of everything that has happened in the department.
I'm very glad to hear that you take charge of everything. That's great. Right, we may have to consider whether we're going to call Virginia Peterson to this to Scopa to account, because of course Scopa has the ability to subpoena any person in the club when the government appeared before Scopa to give us information. Right, then moving on. The Ethiopian 16 million rand was paid. It was paid to CPS. It was paid in June 2014. That's all correct.
Yes, sir.
Alright, and it was paid, the justification used time is it was paid to cover the registration of additional beneficiaries. Is that correct?
The registration of the beneficiaries, yes, is correct.
Okay. At any time, were you there at the department at the time?
I was there in the department. I started in 2013 as the PDG in Comprehensive Social Security. Then in 2015 I became the acting director general in March, in the 1st of April. I was in the department, though I was not closer to what was happening on this, but I was there.
Who was there in the department to actually deal with this thing this year? Because you haven't brought Virginia Peterson, so who's going to answer the question to this one?
The CFO is here to help me to answer the question.
And if I may direct the questions to the CFO. When this payment was made, why was there a problem with procedure in making the payment? Why was no procedure? That is the fundamental objection from the AG, who is here to back up that, and from Treasury as well. The fundamental problem was is that there were irregularities in terms of making that payment because procedure wasn't followed. Can you give us an explanation of that, please?
Thank you very much. There was a procedure in Fargo to make payment. And the payment relating to the 316 million was authorized in terms of the delegation of making the payment. Whatever the AG had a problem with was the approval of the variation order in 2012, which at the time of doing the variation order, we did not necessarily report to National Treasury at the time in 2012, because when the re-registration, because I think maybe you can allow me to give that a brief background because I have to contextualize my response.
Sure. I thought that to understand what you are here to answer, you have to tell me what you want. Can you clarify the issue? You are here to answer questions and answer members' questions. And when the chair doesn't give you direction, you don't need to check. You want to talk to him. He says, answer the question. Don't care about the question.
All right, just to cut you short, I think what I want to help us talk, just to be pointed, another matter I can assure you, as we proceed, all falling to place. Why, I think that's a question. Why would the process be performed? Because if what you don't want is you to explain, to try and convince us that what you did was right, because there's a determination that it's wrong. We're not here to contest the right and wrong. Wrong has already been determined. What we want to understand is why is it happening? Because the rules are there. Supposed to be very clear, you are supposed to be professionals who understand and know these things. What happened? Did you sleep on the job or was it delivery? If it was, why? Did you sleep on the job? So those are the consequential questions that we follow. If you have to press your report, why would the process not follow?
The process was not followed because the accounting authority at the time had to make an urgent decision in terms of taking the additional amount. And that decision, it needed to be processed by the CAC. However, that decision was not processed at the time through the CAC, back to the accounting authority. That's the decision.
No, that's okay.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, so we're now talking about the emergency contract. That's what you say. It's effectively was an emergency issue. Yes or no? Thank you. Right, so now we need to drill down on stuff because we've got a contract that started around the 2011-2012 mark. And CPS was awarded, as per your information on your own version, a 10 billion rand contract. Okay? This issue arose around the argument from CPS, as I understand it, that they had put in a tender to cover, to register 9 million recipients. Okay? And then the argument arose that they said, well, there were actually 15 million, so we need to charge you another 316 million rand. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Right. Now, when you made the decision to pay the 316 million, did any of you at any stage refer back to the SLA, the service level agreement and the contract that governed the original bid? Did any of you take the time to go and look at that?
The executive responsible for that function here did, and the one that put up the motivation.
And who was that executive?
Mr. Frank L.
Mr. Frank?
L.
Oh, Mr. Frank L here?
Has since left the agency.
Okay. So once again, we've got another person responsible for the payment of this money who's not here today. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Was anybody who is in this room involved in that decision?
Yes.
Yes.
Who is that person?
I got to be involved at the later stage.
At the later stage. But not at the initial stage when the decision was made to pay this invoice.
That time when this invoice was considered.
When you got involved, sir, did you at any stage advise that there's a problem here? Because the SLA clearly includes all beneficiaries and all recipients. It cannot be read any other way. And I have the SLA and contract documents in front of me. The recipients, beneficiaries, firm price, fees are all very clearly defined. Did you at any stage raise a flag and say, oh, hang on a second, these guys are taking a chance and they're asking us for extra money when they shouldn't actually put it on them in the first place?
I consider the attachment that was part of the bid document when it went out, which had a projection of 9.2 million, but not the 22 numbers that was actually done at the end of the project.
Did you even look at the SLA or contract agreement?
Yes, we did. I did.
So, have you looked at those documents? How can you possibly, and would you like me to quote you from those documents? Because I have them in front of me. In terms of these documents here, a beneficiary shall bear the meaning, this is now the definition in the SMA, in the contract. It says, beneficiaries shall bear the meaning assigned to it in the act and includes children. Now the argument of CPS was is that their original bid never included children. Because a recipient is somebody who is entitled to it, and a beneficiary is somebody who receives money, am I correct? And a beneficiary sometimes is not a recipient. Somebody might be entitled to get money for their children.
Yes.
Okay. So this, just that particular line says it includes children. How on earth did you drop the ball on this? To not say to CPS, hang on a second, in the original agreement you agreed to include children. It's there in the definition. It's in the first paragraph of the contract. I'm glad you like to get the reason why. Because I've also later on the whole list of cases that you're investigating, and this, what's glaringly missing is the 316 million amount that's missing, and an investigation into that. But I'm very glad I've got General Gemeza here with me today, because I'm sure he can motivate that maybe the Hawks should investigate that. But maybe let's hear your answer, thank you.
As I've indicated, Honourable Chair, that we did consider the SLA, but the numbers that we went out on the bid, it was 9.2 million, just under 9.2 million, and they were not included in the projection. There were not children and the provider, and that is the interpretation of the agency in terms of what happened in that regard.
How many beneficiaries and recipients were there in South Africa in 2011, 2012? How many were there?
Just around 22 million.
22 million.
Yeah.
All right. So, what you're telling this committee, in 2014, you agreed to pay an invoice, which purported to say that you didn't tell us when to register everyone. But if we go back 2 years, you signed an agreement with CPS that said you need to register everyone, and in this SLA it says including children. And you thought that 9 million was enough. I just want to really make that clear. Are you telling the committee here that at the time you knew there were 22 million people who should be enrolled, and you were quite happy to only enroll 9. And explain to us why you were quite happy to do that.
At the time of going to the bid, when we did the projections, we only considered the beneficiaries without including the projections for the children. And once the tender was concluded, and at the time of now implementing the project, we realized that the number that we projected, which are the beneficiaries, excluded the children. And we brought the children in because the whole purpose of doing the re-registration what to really hear of the any fall fraud that may happen within the grant system. And therefore, the children will be a very important part to really get the biometric at that time.
Chair,
can I ask
this question?
I think as you put through the engagement, would encourage you to put down any points that the NDB wants to show. We have a few minutes at the end to allow you to talk to the issue under discussion, whichever that you may wish to take up at the end, of the day.
You know, I don't want to spend the whole day on this, but the bottom line is the SLA defines beneficiaries, it defines recipients, it includes children, and it says that the firm price was R16.44 per recipient. And it actually says per beneficiary. Alright? And then when you go to beneficiary, beneficiary details, procurators, children, etc., etc. There is no doubt in my mind that your department or your entity dropped the ball here. You dropped the ball by allowing a contractor to come in and slip around the back and take a chance. Are you still adamant that you did exactly the right thing?
Upon my engagement, as I said, with the accounting authority and the executive responsible for the function, we had a discussion about this incident. With the documentation and with the explanation that I received in relation to the 9 million and the interpretation of the 9 million protection that was provided, I understood the reasonable understanding that that number and the number that was done by today are two different numbers. And I could really deduce that from the discussion that the children and the procurators, as indicated by the functionaries, that they were not included. I believe that actually that was the correct interpretation.
So, Logan, why don't we help you get to that discussion?
I don't know who's Logan. I've never met him. I don't know who he is.
Alright, okay, so that's the one issue. And the argument will be, and I'd really like the horse to take note, that money should not be paid, it should be paid back. The other issue now comes down to the concerns of National Treasury. The concern is that the amount paid in some additional resources differ from contracted rates. Okay, and that goes to the issue of what you've been discussing. You have committed to a certain rate, and now you are varying it. The expenditure exceeded 15 million on threshold into loading and reported to NT. And the approval that formed an addendum to should have formed an addendum to the existing contract. Who was responsible for those three elements? Which person was responsible for adhering to those three issues?
The executive responsible for that. Because it had to do with the violation of the contract which was decided by an executive. And the decision was taken by the accounting authority to vary the contract.
Okay. The executive was Frank.
Yes.
In Virginia.
The executive was Frank, Virginia. He was the CEO of SAS.
Do you know where Frank works now?
I've not been in contact with him. I don't know where he is.
He's not working somewhere else in government.
I don't know where he was.
Can you advise, or can anybody advise why his employment contract was terminated or expired or whatever?
I don't know why he didn't have the agent. Mm-hmm. I think it's within the corporate business. I have no option to try to get a job recognition.
Can anybody else help us with that?
Right,
Chief, this runs along the line of dubious payments are made and then the person disappears and then appears somewhere else in the government. The revolving door approach that the devils are our government. So effectively what you're saying is the person who was in breach of all these regulations has effectively, on the back of a 360 million round payment, walked away. There's been no consequence for that. Because I don't see their name on that list that you sent us for investigation.
I wouldn't say that it was. I would, because the process in terms of concluding the 315, the process to conclude it has not been finalized. So it is a matter that is still concerned.
What I'm saying is, 2 years ago, in June 2014, over 2 years ago, let's call it 2.5 years for the sake of a couple of weeks, a person in the department made a decision, and I see you referring to sitting as Frank L. Frank L made a decision, I'm assuming in conjunction with Virginia Peterson, to pay a supplier $316 million. Which has subsequently turned out to be very problematic. Okay? And both of those people have not faced any sort of consequence whatsoever. Is that the case? Can you confirm that?
As I've indicated, Honourable Chair, that.
There's two things, yes. There's more. Let's say yes. You did it. And that answers the question.
Because the matter has not been concluded about the matter.
Nothing has happened.
Nothing has happened
yet.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to just, right, well then I think what we can do is we can leave this matter there and hope that our own verses and our resolutions will somehow come to some sort of resolution of this. Perhaps some of my other colleagues have questions. Let's move on to the issue of the physical security of 414 million rand. That's, thank you, on page 10.
All right, Ross, here's the chair. So it's me.
All right. Okay. You know, we've got a really mixed bag over there of the CEO and the CFO. The CEO left the room. I hope you're okay, sir. But you know, it concerns me that the CFO has been answering the questions, but the CEO is the accounting officer and the responsible person, so I'd like to direct my questions at you. We've moved on from the CPS matter. It's by no means over, but we've moved on for today. The security contracts of 414 million rand. Can you give us some sort of sense as to what happened? I have your contract, I have your information with regards to rolling over of contracts. Can you explain to us why? And why for so many years did these contracts just roll over?
Thank you so much, Chair. Let me get us to my page. The 414 million contract for various physical security that we have, the cumulative expenditure that incurred for a number of years. The way I understand it was that when the CFO of the time started with SASA, this contract was just been awarded to the service providers. He queried the procedure that was followed at the time, and he felt that the procedure was not followed in a proper sense of the word. And he requested that, because the security was needed at the particular time, so he asked that instead of the 3 years that was set down, it must be 6 months. And after that 6 months, while the contract was going on for the 6 months, the process of trying to get the procedure to be correct and follow on and do the proper processing and processes of the tender, then the contract was going on. By the time the 6 months ended, the formal proceedings had not been finalized. Hence, it was the contract was extended.
Right, it was extended for another 6 months, and when the second 6 months ended, the process was followed, extended. That's what happened.
That's exactly what
happened. Okay, next one that you're going to be taking is, who are the seven security companies? Do you have those listed in here?
Eastern Cape, we have Kobane Security, Free State, we've got Mofuku, Gauteng, we've got Komanang, and then head office was Chandler Protective Services, KwaZulu-Natal was Rochelle Aviation and Protection Services, Limpopo, Makotwane, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, it was Mofuku and Komanang Security, the Mofuku Security in Western Cape.
Okay, who is the previous CFO?
The previous CFO is from Sector 4.
Yes, it is. Okay. Just a tie. Can you please explain to us why you couldn't get this right 8 times in a row? Because are there 6 month contracts over 4 years, that's 8 times.
Thanks. members of also remember that I was the contract partner in the following year. Okay. When I joined the agency in 2012, that's when this matter has been concluded. So I joined when the evaluation started. And when I looked at the process that was followed, I know that we were not in compliance with regards to the advertisement itself, because Treasury regulation is very clear that you have to advertise in the tender bulletin, at least in the tender bulletin and in other media. So that part has not happened. And on that basis, we then said, let's make sure that we follow the right procedure. And that's when the first 6 months was extended. The process then, when the 6 months had passed, we finalized the tender process, and at that stage we found that, again, in terms of the evaluation, there were problems very with the evaluation, because there were issues around whether supporting documentation in terms of the administrative compliance is attended. Part of the administrative compliance is you need to submit a valid test clearance, particularly submit identity documents of all the shareholders and also the CIRA information with regards to the registration of the security company. There was arguments whether these documents should be certified or not certified. So in the view that you, we then said that we were not clear in the tender document, because we said submit certified copies. In the tender document, we said certified copies of this information. So we had some of the organizations that did not certify this information. Now, technically speaking, those people should be excluded from the process, which was done. But then, in terms of looking at the documentation from the accounting officer side, it was felt that we should have then considered those people also. My argument's always been that non-compliant administrative compliance, that is what was required in the document, in the bid document, then you should evaluate as much.
Okay, you know, I salute you for that. I salute you for trying to stick to it. But why did it take you 4 years? why did it take 4 years? Your version, in a sense, 6 months contracts were advertised, which 7 security companies. Okay, covering all the office and service points from 1 August 2012. The contracts were extended 7 times up to 31 January 2016. And all those extensions were found to be reasonable. Why did it take 4 years to get a pile of document source done? You know, I've got my tax return in at the moment, and I've got to get a whole lot of documents to go to my tax practitioner. It's taking me about a week. Well, it's taking 4 years to get that right. I don't understand. Maybe you can help me.
Chairperson, I joined the department in 2013, so that process was not, well, I was not part of that process.
Give us some insight into the potential fee to regularize. Call it from the first 6 months or the second 6 months going forward. What was the problem? Was it any resistance or it was something that you said, well, I wash my hands of it and focus on other things and it just continues? That is what I'd like to understand.
Sorry, Chair, can we then request Chawoke to take over, because he left the department at that particular time to leave his agents to the department, then Chawoke took over. So Mr. Chawoke might be the one that can help.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
After the failure, this bit will attempted 4 times to get the service provider. We went on the market, on the open market, 4 times. The first time that we went, when we got that 6 months, the report that came to the accounting officer was not approved by the accounting officer, which was their conversation. But on the basis that
the report that came to the
county. Yeah, the report in terms of the outcome of the first bid. Because after the 6 months we went on open market. And when
went for tender
and
tendered
we received the documentation
and
we went through the evaluation process, went by the BSC. And it landed on the accounting authority, who did not necessarily approve, primarily on the reason that certain service providers were not found responsive in one region and found responsive in another region with a central government. So this was
This means
that if you went on the same spec for all the regions, because the spec was the same. So if a service provider was accepted that can be evaluated and scored up to the final stage in one region, you expected the same service provider to be scored in the same in the other region. However, the application of the evaluation criteria was not consistent among the regions, because that process was decentralized. And part of the delay is what is that we had to really go, the evaluation committee had to go and visit, because there were site visits that needed to be done across the country. So we needed a team that had to go and visit all of them. And when it was not approved, we went back on the market and we extended the running contract. And we went on for the second time, we decided
maybe the rejection, because that's what called for. Unless we understand it, I think for me that's the key area. So you apply the criteria inconsistently, but then come around and say you companies are not scoring uniformly to the various regions, and yet you are applying your criteria inconsistently, and then reject findings of the bid adjudication committee. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Well, that's remarkable. because you know, in any situation, you've got to look at who suffered prejudice. And the people who have suffered prejudice here are other security companies in the market that would like to have qualified over that 4-year period to supply the department services or SASA services. But because of your inefficiency and the way you were applying the requirements, what you've just admitted to, you're effectively excluding other people from the process, which is laid down by the PFMA. And the argument still remains is, why could you not get that right over a 4-year period? And now you've got to understand that you draw inferences from people's acts. And the inference that one starts to draw from that is, were you trying to exclude people to benefit certain people? So did you keep a set of security companies, these 7, in place for 4 years? Deliberately by obfuscating the process, moving the goalposts here and there, moving things around, for 4 years to make sure that those people and whoever they connected to were looked after. I'll put that to you as a question.
No.
So what you're telling me is that you were administratively defunct and unable to put together a proper process for 4 years.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'll ask you one other question. Can we have your letter of resignation today? Because you've just admitted that you can't run a process for 4 years.
We did request that for assistance.
Okay. Oh, you requested assistance. Who did you request assistance from? And who didn't give it to you?
The Artemis mentioned that it's a common assistance.
Okay, well, National Treasury are here, maybe they can comment later. My best chair, you want them to comment now. Okay. Well, Chair, I think we've got to the bottom of this. Let's move on.
Maybe I'd like to explain this thing about the company not going giving the protections. When you talk about tracing, I talk about foreign products. So, like here, 7 companies, that one company is allocated a product among the 7. Now, in the tender that you set out, were you looking for one company to run the whole country, or you were still allocating them according to that?
We're looking at one company page for not one.
So how, if I apply to provide security in the Western Cape, how do I get qualified because of the free state? If I only apply here in the Western Cape, how does this even come about?
Because the award of the contract was supposed to be done by the accounting officer. So then the accounting officer had a free view of what happened in another region, which was not consistent with what happened in another region, and asked questions, why was that application of the responsive criteria not consistent, yet the specification was the same across the province. And that's where the accounting officer said, I think the application of the responsive criteria was not done correctly. I think that's the issue. If it was finalized and the delegation ended with the region or the province, it would have finalized without anyone picking up extra anomalies in terms of the process.
So the BAC were provincially picked?
Yes, the considerations in terms of the recommendations, yes, were coming back to allow it to be finalized at the central point.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. Right, the next issue I'd like to talk about is the traffic to Delta payments, these payments of 232 billion. Can you give us some clarity on that? We got a breakdown of offices out across the Northern Cape and Northwest. And once again, this seems to tie into not renegotiating these periods, etc., etc., etc. Can you give us some insights into that? Or is there anybody else who is dealing with that? Can we get some insights? I don't know. I feel like I'm moving around your panel here because I don't know who the right person is to answer the question. I'll let you decide.
The CFO can tell us what we will discuss.
Chair, sorry, before we do that, I must say the CEO has been very quiet today. But I want you to know that although we're discussing this with your CFO, this committee looks at you as the accounting officer. You're the person responsible for all of this, so please keep that in mind.
Honourable Chair, I did mention earlier on that I take the responsibility of everything at the CEO that is current for the meeting.
Thank you for that.
At the establishment of SASA in 2006, SASA had to consolidate the functions that were previously dealt with by the provincial department. And during that process, there was an agreement which was in line with SASA Act Section Number 23 of the SASA Act. That required that we should consolidate the assets and liabilities that were in the provinces to be consolidated within SASA. And during that process, in the Northern Cape, there were four lists that were entered. One was in the Northwest. And during that process, because SASA has just been established, there were sessions of these lists that had to be given to SASA to run, which were proposed through the process of the department, the provincial department. And those disagreements were 10-year leases. During the audit, the Auditor General wanted documentation in terms of the procurement process followed in concluding those leases. And SASA had to revert back to try and find out what process was followed by the department with the provincial department at the time. And we could not get the exact procurement process except the lease agreement which were signed and which are 10 years and that's how this expenditure from 2006-2007 actually accumulated to make 233 million by 2015-16.
So the actual problem of the irregularity was the negotiation of leases, is that correct?
Yes.
Who owns Trifecta Delta?
I don't know if that is the owner.
Trifecta. Why does this name sound Canadian and not a K?
Yes, that's another K.
Does John Block ring a bell?
Yes, John Block rings the bell because this issue of trifecta has been in court, and there are people that have been found guilty, and they are awaiting a sentencing. John Block is one of those people that were found guilty on tradition. So, by taking what happened in court, we may say that those people that have been found guilty were the shareholders of the organization.
I want to be prudent, and we mustn't just assume that it's linked. So is it linked in any way? Is that court case linked to this original expenditure in any way, in your mind?
I wouldn't know much about the linkage.
No,
linkage
you should know. I see for a couple of months now, so we're familiar with the price itself. You don't know,
there is a link. Our understanding and the investigation that were tried and the collaboration that were had with Mr. Treasurer is that the case that we thought that was concluded was phase one, and the HOC and the NPA had to deal with the phase two, which started. Leases are going to be part of that. But when you read in terms of the leases that were involved, startup leases were not directly in there. It was said that they should form part
issue of the diseases that need to be dealt with. So there is a leakage primarily because the person, the late Miss Border, who was the one that was helping SAMHSA to finalize the diseases.
I'm just not hearing the link. You're saying there is a link to the starting cortex. What is the link? Because if there was that would suggest that the treating of these visas had some elements of criminality in it. If that link is there, we need to know that. We need to know who's involved in treating these visas on the success.
Part of the Hawks investigation included the documents that were concluded by through Ms. Borta at the time. And I can confirm.
Ms. Borta is the head of Department of Social Development, and after that came the chairperson of this portfolio committee.
Oh, okay, the one who was
So the investigation themselves, they included SAMHSA because they all came to SAMHSA offices to really check the documents in terms of the cases, in terms of the extent of the case and so on.
What is the criminality? Was it fraud? Money paid? Children being paid? I'm just trying to get down to the criminality of the matter. What was the actual criminal element in what the Hawks are investigating?
Suspected.
Yes, absolutely. What is the suspected act that we're talking
about? The corruption.
That's very broad. Was it fraud? Was it theft? Corruption is a method.
I think let's leave it to him. Leave it at corruption.
Thank you, Chair. If I might just, I think it is important to remember here the timeline. SAMHSA was established in 2006. The leases in question were agreed to before 2006.
And
the establishment of SAMHSA.
No, that thing is aimed at the community. We're aware of that. But when you established, you inherited the trading that you had to have. Why it's here. Otherwise, you would say it's not our thing. Well, that's the problem we have.
Okay, Jack, the issue I raise is because the contracts were taken over into SAMHSA and locks are kind of and I think this is where the CMO was trying to explain that acquiring those documentation about how these leases were contracted into was a difficulty, and that the former HOD was charged with other people with the people that were trying to get those contracts to SAMHSA. But that documentation and the proof of how this was then computed never came into SAMHSA. And that's what subject to the court case, and I think that's why he's talking about corruption.
I'm satisfied with that. You see, what I'm trying to drive down to colleagues is I'm trying to drive down into consequences. Is there anybody that was involved in that, still in the employer of SAMHSA, or otherwise, or social development, who needs to face consequences for that? I need to know that. Because, as I said, I'm going to get into another list now where nothing seems to be happening. So, sort of that. Is anybody else, can you put on record on it, there's no one else who's not facing action about that?
Maybe. It was difficult to answer that because our understanding is that it was done prior to SAMHSA, so there will be nobody inside SAMHSA that is facing any consequences to it.
Right. Can I move on? Right. The next aspect that we want to look at is SAEMT, which we know is a very reputable forensic company. I know that from our previous area. But knowing them and knowing their standards, it
incredible that they were irregularly awarded a contract. Because I found it very strange that they wouldn't even accept to be involved in a contract if they knew it was regular. So can you just give us an explanation as to how they were deemed to be regular? I see that they were the second scoring bidder instead of the highest scoring bidder in the Green Select. So why did SABMT get it? Well, first of all, let's start with who was the highest scoring bidder? Start there. And why did SABMT get the contract to do this? Assume it's an internal audit.
Thank you. The highest scoring bidder was Nexus Forensic Services, which is why that why SABMT was awarded the contract. It was the decision of the accounting authority after considering the difference between the recommendation of the BEC, the Bid Evaluation Committee, and the recommendation made by the Bid Adjudication Committee. And the accounting authority went with the recommendation made by the Bid Evaluation Committee. And that's how the SABMT ended with the contract.
Which was later turned over in court, is that correct?
Yes, it is correct.
So let's drill down into that. Is anybody here from the BAC?
No.
Sorry, from the BEC. Not the BAC. The BAC approved Nexus. The BEC wanted SABMT. Is anybody here from the BEC?
No.
Just a bother. Okay, and who was the accounting authority at that time?
Dr. Christina Peterson.
Okay, so I'm Dr. Montreux here. Okay, so Dr. Virginia Peterson, I apologize for her earlier, I didn't realize she was a doctor. She has now approved two interesting contracts. So now we're up to the 400 million mark, where she's involved, ignored SEM processes.
She went with the decision of the BEC.
Okay. Let's put this in stock. Stock relief.
The question is, on the SABMT contract, is one. Then the contract on security, that is two. If you add to the count, they now go to a swap. That she ever put it to.
Did she approve the security as well? Was that under her watch?
Yes.
Was that you?
It was under her watch.
Right. A lot to answer for. Certainly. Now, let's just want to drill down to one other thing about this SABMT investigation. From my understanding of their investigation, they pretty much came in to do an internal audit, is that correct? Do you know?
I know that the country that is not work on it, that's okay, not the general audit.
No, SABMT. What were they doing?
They were responsible for the fraud investigations within the Botana system.
Yes, and they were awarded a 3-year contract. So they were just looking at social grant fraud.
Yes, inclusive of some of the internal gaps in relation to the fraud that happened within the SBMC.
Okay, so my question is can you give us an idea of what the internal audit unit looks like? That you would need to spend 74 million rand, which is a nice chunk of cash. I used to be in that industry, it's a nice contract. Why could you? What is the state of maybe the DG Canal or the country officer? Do you share an internal audit unit or does SASO have its own internal audit unit?
SASO has got its own internal audit unit. The reason that was why the we had to go out on a tender for this particular process, was that it was too much fraud that within SAS. And SABNT are like other companies, they are specialized.
No, that's fine. So you need an external firm, the SABNT, because we
My concern is why did you say something, and I hope it wasn't a slip of the tongue, but you said there's so much fraud in SASA. Does that mean that you can't trust your own people to have a proper internal audit? That you need somebody else?
Syndicates that are involved in doing this. It's a common cause, it's known, it's in public, and we're dealing with them, and some of the cases are in court.
Let's come back to that, because you know, in scope of internal audits is something that's very, very dear to us, and very important to us, that it's functional in general. So I'm going to come back to the question again. Tell us about your internal audit department. What does it look like? How many people are on the internal audit committee? Is it something that happens every day? Do they work every day? Do they come in once a week? What resourcing are they given your internal audit department? Can you tell us something about that?
Thank you very much. The internal audit within SASA is headed by an executive. And then they brought about four senior managers, directors, I can't really remember the exact number for now. However, what we have realized is that...
So, if you put the general control, why don't you be here for focus? Is it?
Yes, it is.
Do you know how many you need in terms of
construction? We do. I'm just saying the quantifying of all the numbers within the province. Because remember that they also have the structure within their office, and also have to look at the numbers that were there within the province. I can't really get the total number.
Then you general monitor, you need to know what capacity you need and what capacity you have and the quality of the work that you do.
Okay, so we have agreement that you don't know what's going on with your internal audit.
I do know what's going on in terms of the audit plan and the focus area.
Tell us.
Within the internal audit, what we have looked into is the areas of the supply chain management that we have done work within the internal audit space. And if we were to look at what the audit plan is, for the 2016-16, we have opted for a cost-plus model. Part of the internal audit function is done within the capacity that we have, but part of the work will be done by the coastal partners, which is the companies that we did the taxation. So the focus areas is around supply chain management, because we have looked at that particular issue. We have looked in terms of the review of the existing policies within the agency. We have looked in terms of the projects that we were undertaking.
Okay, I'm hoping that you will give general audit some service, some serious attention. Because, you know, one of the drives of government has been to try and cut down on consultants. Now, I understand why consultants are doing it, simply because we haven't built capacity within our departments. That is a mistake we've made as a country. We haven't built the right capacity. So now we have to use consultants. The problem is consultants are costing us 74 million rand a time. As a country, we can't afford it. So I just want to encourage you very much to please focus on building up your internal infrastructure within your department. So we don't have to go and spend huge amounts of money on consultants to do work that we should be able to do internally. Okay, Chair, the second to last thing I want to just concentrate on is the schedule that we've sent relating to investigations of irregular expenditure. I don't know if anybody's going to put it up, but I have a chair receipt that I think it was yesterday or the day before. the document specifies irregular expenditure for 2013-14 years, 2014-15, so basically for the 2 years that we're looking at, all totaling about 8 million rand or so. So it's 8 million and 5 million is 13. It's about 20 million. And the schedule specifies what project was involved, who the responsible department was, who the responsible person was. But unfortunately, when we moved right across to the end of the report, it says just about everything should be presented at LCC, which is obviously the Loss Control Committee, if I'm not mistaken. So my concern, and I'm sure my colleagues in Scotland will share the concern, is that if you look through this list, I'm going to be hoping that there would be a comment that says, case investigated, disciplinary action taken, money recovered, person went to jail. And all we see is, either matter referred to LCC, case investigated and presented to LCC, still under investigation, or normalized by National Treasury. And there's one, there's only one that says case and referred to debt collection. So I know that my colleagues are going to be very, very concerned that there's no consequence here. And I'm not talking about matters that happened last week. I'm talking about matters that happened in 2013-14. And if you look through some of these matters, one of the matters was fined for 250 rand. And 3 years later, that's still being investigated. The person received fine. There's nothing to investigate. That gets deducted off your new spacer. You know what I'm saying? So I really would like some proper answers on that. I don't know if you're with me on the same document, but I'm going to the tabs. This is the IRR tab here. I'm not going to stray onto my comrade Menting's area on fiscal and racial expenditures, because you're getting a snack. But then I've got the third tab says, if you look at it, it's the finalized tab. And the lack of detail here is absolutely astonishing. Because for those of you who know the documents, it says the name of the service provider, it says the external communicator, the responsible chief director, the responsible person, and then it says status, finalized and closed. And? Finalized and closed. Where's the detail? So every single one of these, well, either the person just found not guilty, every single one of them, or so the lack of detail is what. Now, one of the things we're really worried about in Scotland is consequence management. So I think you really owe us a very, very good explanation as to what's going on there. And the other sheets are the same. Very, very large lack of detail. So please, if you can hopefully help us with a bit of detail in terms of what's happening, because we know in Scotland that you don't do something to people when they breach the PFFA, they take action, you'll be talking the language of problems. So please, that was a long intro, but please give us some kind of help.
achieve that.
So social development is regular, regular and fruitism as well.
That's from the care team. We don't have job. We don't have shift here. We don't have any expression. Yet no. Why is it? Principle of allowance. I don't know if you have the report there, 97. It's under personnel costs, 17 personnel costs. Section loss, are you with me there? It says non-pensionable allowance, which is about a figure of about 120. Now there's a little asterisk next to it there, small money. It says included the non-pensionable allowance of an amount of 6.7 million. As an out-of-court settlement paid to a former CEO. Can you please tell us who that former CEO is and what the circumstances were of an out-of-court settlement? For 6.7 million to that person.
This amount was paid to the previous CEO, the president, Mark Yuan.
Brazilian Makiwan.
President Makiwan.
Okay, and why did the contract go by? Why were you bringing the out-of-court settlement on that?
The way I understood it is that he lodged the complaint through his lawyers about what SASA has done to him and his reputation and the rest. That has not found work because SASA has persuaded him as a criminal and lodged two complaints against him. That has made him not to be able to get job and get anything. And we spoke to the state attorney about it, and we got the senior counsel to help us with it. And to avoid going to court on a protracted long argument, the state attorney and their attorneys calculated what might have been the loss. He came up with an amount of as or minus 14 million, and the state attorney and the senior counsel that we had calculated down and negotiated down with them to that amount. That's the amount that we ended up paying him on for him not to take us through.
To make it more specific, Mr. Makiwane was the first CEO of SASA. He was dismissed by Minister Edna Malewa on suspicion of corruption. The case went to court. The court found that they had no case to answer. And based on that, he can't pursue it.
This deal, that's much, much better. The explanation is one, two, three. So, it's that it corrupts the department for SASA could not prove those things. That's why it's picked as a document.
That really concerns me, because just done a quick calculation, team to list a bond, which is in the business of tech grants. It's 8,132. That was a 6.7 million stake. Because I can only assume, if you've got decent legal advice, that your lawyers would not have told you about 6.7 million rand. If you weren't going to pay the court. You're confident of your case. You know, I'm not going to court. This person is guilty or something.
No.
I know this happened before your time, but the thing
is, this
almost becomes fruitless and wasteful.
The court found that he has no case for us.
Yes.
So which means the court actually found him not guilty. Not what the CEO is saying. Because the CEO is saying we didn't want to go to court and this, that, this, that.
It was on the counter, suit. Do not want to go back to court after it's been proven that it's not corrupt.
Can we caution the CEO to be very patient, please? Let me do with our checkers. We are asking for a team. Can you listen to the checkers? We can. We are not changing.
All right. No, my problem is your information comes in sometimes. It's almost like you can only give a part of the push. Otherwise, you just come up with information and say, look, this gentleman was dismissed by the minister because of accused of corrupt. He went to court and he won the case, and then he was now sued to the department. And then, it explains, it clarifies the issue for us. We don't have to. So, sir, you should order that chocolate more.
I'm almost done. So effectively what you're saying is we have to put that 6.7 million rand at the feet of the minister. So it was the minister who initiates the action that starts off. Is that correct?
It was not the minister setting it up today.
No minister had come down. They're saying it was the political office that was responsible for the decision. Anyway, that's what the facts say from what they said, so they don't have to confirm it.
No, sure, Chair. It's just something I picked up when I was going to consider before. Chair, my final comment on this is that this morning I've seen a very, very concerning allegations against Dr. Peterson. Two matters she was involved in, maybe more. And I certainly think would be looked into further. And I'm also very, very concerned, and I want to put a question to the CEO. You've given us a report, you've had long engagement on what went wrong. And unfortunately, as for your CFO, and as for a lack of understanding of contracts and how they work, CEO admitting that for 4 years there was just a total mess with security contracts, I'm very, very concerned. You, as a department, and this is where we are all concerned about the people in our country, you in the department where you assist 22 million of our fellow compatriots survive every month. And you're in a position now where you have to roll out the system in April. SASA themselves have to roll out in April. Can you give us any sort of assurance and comfort that you are in fact going to have that ready on time with this level of irregular expenditure and mismanagement that you have as a team? Can you give us any sort of level of comfort and any sort of detail that we would walk away comforted by the fact that in fact you actually have this one, you are on point? Because we're very concerned about this and we're going to take this further. We're also very concerned about the future of the 22 million compatriots that are reliant on your entity for their daily bread literally.
We're busy dealing with the future of taking over the of SASA on the 1st of April. In our on the position that we're sitting in, we feel comfortable that we'll be able to take over the payment and with some variations of the things that might think that we may not do it inside the testing outsource. Because we cannot, we are not the banking, we don't have a banking license, we may not do that portion. The issue of physical security of delivering the money, we don't do this. We may not be able to do that. But the registration and the administration of the event, we will be taking over that.
Do you know, we're in Scotland, we need detail. What detail can you give us? Which suppliers are you talking about? Are you talking again to CPS that you have a checkered career with? And you talk to other people so we don't go down the same controversial path again?
I may not be able to comment right now because I've not finalized everything, but this is a process. We're only taking on the first of all.
I'm very, very concerned that you're saying you're busy with something that needs to be ready by April. And you're still going to register 22 million people. I mean, I'm not finding any trouble.
As I've just said, that we in the process of finalizing everything that we're doing. Come first of April, we'll be doing and people will be paid on that. And the registration, people are registered, that's why we've been discussing on that issue of 360 million.
Well, I certainly hope that when I phone you on Christmas Day, you'll be in my office. Anyway, Chair, that's me done. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any follow up on the regular expenditure issues that COVID may have? Right.
CEO, within your plan, as a new president, and what your CFO has described as internal policy. I don't know when you were telling us that there's so many things. The fact that your CFO is not able to deal with the quantification of numbers, and it says to us that those indicators are linked to the internet. I don't want to hear from you when you say that what they have come across, what your CFO is doing. But it has got quite a lot to do with where SATA would be. Is the nature of the linkages with your internal audit. Where are these linkages? Give us just a go of the linkages, the way they are operating.
Honorable Chair.
Yeah, Comrade and
Vice.
The issue of fraud within SASA is in the public domain, and there are so many cases that have been taking place, and people have been arrested through hawks and serious offense and economic crime. The thing that we've been discussing with the CFO, was I can say right now that I was appointed with this effect from confirmed 1st of November, so I'm a week old within the department, within SARS. But I cannot say that I've not been seeing what has taken place as the teacher acting
principal. My question is, see, you have made a commitment that you owe up to all governments. So don't go back at them. And in the last question from the Honorable Devon, you are promising about the general strategy. And I'm talking to that, given already that you have described the situation that you are. They are responsible for. They are responsible for syndicates. That's what they are saying. So give us, how are you going to do this thing? So that we can be confident, and we are speaking on behalf of the public, that this thing is going to work for them. This is our mother and father.
Very luckily, I've been the acting director general, I've been involved on the establishment of the inspector. The inspector has been established and appointed. The personnel within there was pleased with the appointment of the investigators. With that, we feel that we'll be able to have our hands on the pulse with the fraud that is taking place within SAS.
All right.
No, you see CFO, you must do yourself a thing. of Indian to answer that question. If you don't learn this thing, you then move next to the Supreme Court. You're not going to have a good relationship with court. You're not going to be involved in your report. There's no consequence. And we are looking for consequence. And I thought that you would turn around to that you said that what I do. You see, CFO, even up to a million and motor vehicle. I wanted to talk to you about issue that I'm going to do. I mean, the irregular expenditures was way beyond and I don't dare to say that it will happen. The time asked is that you are entering an area where you are being run by syndicates. So what is the state? Give us context. I'm not talking to us, but I'm talking to the first part. Explain to our lives, be able to go. So that we can hold you by your words. You see what the Honorable has not been able to ask. If this is not moving, are you going to be able to resign? So there's nothing that you are putting on the table. So that when you come back to this conference, you know what you are going to ask. I'm going to ask you, are you working on civil case or what? Then let the people answer the government. Let's show them.
All right. You have to just know the question. The government.
Thank you, Chairman. Chair, my only concern that I wanted to go back to is the security, the irregular expenditure on the 414 million that is paid to security company. Now you are going to roll out a system that will belong to SASA and you still need security services. Within your new system or your turnaround, have you considered employing security officers full time? Because if we do calculations here, Chair, from the 414 million, and full-time employment of a security guard. I do not know the number they have currently, but I can promise you the number they have currently compared to the amount that they have paid will be far less if those people are employed permanently. So within your new turnaround staff strategy, you consider employing security services full-time because it's a service that you can never live without. You can't outsource it forever. You are a department. You need to take charge and you need to take steps to ensure that people that are distributing the grant outside are secure. So what is the new position you can make?
Then after this one, you can then go to the brain.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'd just like to share the concern with regard to the trend in terms of the regular expenditure and how to increase over a period of time. And then perhaps also a commitment from the executive authority with regard to the enforcing compliance. Because the regular expenditure, Honourable Minister and the DG, is when there's not compliance in terms of legislation. And we saw on the national picture that there's 72% in the last year where there was non-compliance in terms of the supply chain management. That's all fair and well, but in your department, as my colleagues indicated, which is such an important department, working with multi-billion rand social grant spending, we need to have some more detail and commitment towards this process, otherwise we're not going to see the end of the day. Now, when we look at the 1st of April, as my colleagues indicated, and there's just vague questions with regard to the administrative process going to be followed up. It's certainly not good enough for us. And it couldn't be that that should be shrouded in secrecy. I think we need a transparent process to very scope up this. You know, on the re-registration, it's common knowledge that should be done. That I would like to have some comments on that. And then in terms of outsourcing this huge responsibility, there should be a plan and we need more detail on that. I think it's really not good enough today to say that that is still confidential. And who is going to take over the payments, etc. There should be a little bit of a progress report to this. Just with regard to the law enforcement and making sure that we comply with legislation and that we force compliance, I think we can
in to a certain extent disappointed that since 2012 there's been a regression. In 2012, I see 1st of April, 241 social security agents officials were suspended, dismissed and convicted for, but we still see the same trend in 2013-14, and then unfortunately an increase in 15-16 to the tune of 132 cases. So, Minister, this is serious, and I would perhaps like later if you would like to respond to us in terms of the political role and your real role in cross compliance.
I will respond to the
thank you so much, Chair. On the, with the effect on the, I mean, with the on the question of the first question from the Honourable Member. Yes, on the issues of that people do things in a day in, day out, and there are no consequences about it, is something that, as I mentioned earlier, that I was involved in the issue of the inspector, that I'm going to extend on the issue that people are not just going to willy-nilly do anything they want to do without any consequences. We'll be seeing that people will be investigated, yeah, or if they are investigated, we try and push that we come to a closure of those cases, and people, if they need to be arrested, they will be arrested, and everyone will know that we cannot tolerate any fraud or anything that is taking place within FASA as an organization. On the issues of the syndicates are sitting outside with the help of the people in China. That one will be dealing with the shop, with the hawk, helping us to take those issues forward. It has already begun, and there are some cases that I've caught already that are going on, and people are being arrested. And because of television, 3 months or 4 months ago, where talks swap onto mostly some of the staff members together with people from outside. Those are things that we're looking at deeply. And on the side of the security, on the security guard, the security I was referring to was not the one that we're dealing with now on the issues of the people that are guarding the gates. We're talking about the cash in transit. That is what we cannot be able to do as it is right now, because I don't think that at present we'll be able to diversify as far as and appoint security guards that are going to be armed and all the companies that are doing that. That is part that we think that are going to outsource. But our intention is to get away from the cash in transit issues and people use bank cards and they just get their money from ATM. Though many of our 30% of our beneficiaries are reluctant to go onto the card. They still want to go to the pay point and all of that. Those are things that we're dealing with on this new transaction. I mean, new way of doing things within SARS. That is the one. On the issue of compliance on our side, this is one thing that I will be taking on with my executives and looking into the issue of strengthening the internal audit. I, as I've just said, as I've just come in, though I don't want to delve into that, those are things that I'm going to be looking at and check where are the gaps within SASA and what is it that we'll be doing. And coming back in at Scopa next year, we'll be coming with a different story that is not going to be the same way. We're not going to be having the same irregular expenditure as we are having it. Because 1.1 billion is too much in any terms. It's something that cannot be tolerated, cannot be taken. The people that are responsible for all those kind of things will be bear the consequences of not complying with the rules and the regulations.
Thank you, Chair. My question goes back to the issue of the 360 million rand. Early in the presentation, it was said that the payment was an emergency. I just would like to know why it was an emergency.
Thank you very much, Chair. Mine is not really a question, but rather a comment. That now, as we make observations and also in working with you on a regular basis, the former acting who is now a CEO of SAC and the new DG, who has also been in the department. It is my belief, very strong belief, that you have learned from lesson that symbiotic relationship between the body of DFD and the entity and funds having to move as voted to DFD to various agencies which do their work. It is very critical that those funds, once they have been given to the department, to that particular agency, are no longer in the control of DFD, so that you can see a movement to or a movement out, because that creates a scenario where it appears that the mother board, if I may use that language, has free access and free control. So I think you have learned to be from this a new CEO that it the accounting will only be strong and recognized if you account directly to this body which we want to oversight, because we will oversight you, but for the actions DFD as a delegate must continue to oversight you and to report honestly to them. And CEO, I'm speaking to you. So I'm actually seeing many of the weaknesses that appear to be here on that relationship, which we need to really, really be strict on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is going to be on the revenue question. I see here, Chairperson, maybe the National Treasurer will be the one that will answer on the question that I want to ask. It's on the expenditure. The former word is on the expenditure was condoned by the Treasurer in June 2020, but it was later withdrawn on the 2nd of August. The question that I want to ask Treasurer, why it was condoned and later withdrawn. My second question, Chairperson, is to go to our other stakeholders, the ATTC, Anti-Corruption Justice Commission. When you listen to the introductions that we have heard from other honorable members and the agents who are responding to the question, it's becoming evident that we see that there is a lot of corruption and wrongdoing. And so many cases that are actually in court or other cases are in forensic investigation. What would like to get advice on as a committee from government and colleagues, if they can share with us, do they have cases which they are investigating or which they are working on with the inspector? Thank you, Chair.
My last question. You see, they are not helping. You know, every cent counts. We have got 4 million damage of water. And the right of the major is
the funds will come into profit.
Yeah.
Will come to this now after this.
I want us to
move on to prospect and waste prevention. That's what the legal
are talking to. No, Chair, I just want to raise one procedural issue that I'm not happy that is happening. Actually, who's the accounting officer of this department?
The DG.
accounting office. So, and then in terms of the PFMA, you are responsible. You are a successor. But ever since we stepped out of the PASA, the gentleman to the right of the
minister. Oh, he. Well, the CEO that is responsible.
Yeah.
Now, let me understand my question.
All right. That's fine. Yeah, let us say, Jerry, and then we'll come to General Benedict. The granting of condemnation and later withdrawal.
Thanks, Jack. And the reason why we, when the report came, to request that we condone the irregular processes, it was only along the fact that they didn't report the validation when it was done. And then the CEO only gave a verbal authority for the transition to take place, and later she gave them a memo. And that's what they wanted to convention along the line. Then we requested additional information. The report that came earlier and the report that also came late. And he said, for now, we need to withdraw it. Because on top of the irregular, there were now questions that were asked about this should not have been raised as a defense in Chabane. It should have been regarded as put as waste presidential. Therefore, you need to put all the propositions on board until we can clear the issue of whether this 316 is it only irregular or is it putrid with the friends? And those are the people that we are looking at.
General? So when you say they were inconsistent, just like English, to say the initial statement was this, could not be backed up by documentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Based on the response of the National Treasurer, when you look at the presentation of the professor, it says now because of the inconsistent subwording. I'm not sure, I'm looking at my email. The first one, there is a registration. When National Treasury talked that they were inconsistent, therefore, the final word that it said the CEO was on page 9, slide 9, it says the matter is still to be heard in court because it was brought up by Russian. So I don't know a CEO. The matter went to court by Corruption Watch after you got the response from National Treasury that the withdrawal was based on the inconsistency or whatever procedures that were not followed in terms of how a condemnation should be done. So we would also appreciate to hear your views on this matter, just to keep the comments for us. Yes, but the more you get answer from one, then it overlaps to someone that you must probably are able to contact with us, which I'm sure that you say. Actually, in a nutshell, just to say why there were issues which were not inconsistent, because we cannot say inconsistent. Whatever it was, our own regulations that should follow what we
report subsequently. Thank you. Following up would be for me to ask from National Treasury whether when there was this withdrawal, the department was fully briefed as to why the condonation has been withdrawn. And also to ask from former acting CEO who took over when Ms. Peterson's contract came to an end, whether she was properly handed over information about this pending issue with regards to the very bowing out CEO, so that those are now in the end of the new CEO, so that there will be no more inconsistency and information will not be lost in the transition between CEOs.
Communicating back to Papa and
there was a number of engagements, not only on the 316, on the security, because even on the security, our staff who were pushing that they should be able to correct this matter until they corrected it. Exactly with the 316, we had a number of meetings, a number of disagreements, because they who want to maintain their positions, we maintain our positions. But
what position did they have?
With the security, for example, they will argue to say they are right, what they would do on time, and then will say it's not, because of the inconsistency that you see in there. I don't want to offend that debate, but let me give
you... No, that's why you...
You're accounting...
Sorry.
You're accounting... not in the budget. One of the reasons that they will say, because this company tendered in one province and in the other province it was quite fine. That cannot prevent the accounting officer to appoint another company there. Because even recently with the food parcel, they ran the tender exactly the same thing. And in three provinces, North Free State, Northern Cape, and another province, they said we didn't get anybody. But they lied to say this company that was appointed in Gauteng, we want it to do this job in Free State. And when we check in Free State, the same company did tender that it was disqualified. Therefore, if the reason was that, I'm saying you see the inconsistency there, because if you apply this standard in this one, and when come another tender you change, then you can see here there's an abuse of the rights enforcement. The same way if you go to the SBNT. The argument, if you have a recommendation from the DEC, and the accounting officer now you change, you say, I don't want number one, I want number two. Obviously, there should be valid decisions. And if you do that without valid decisions, then it's a serious problem. Then with the latest one, the 3161, after the constitutional court has said this contract is invalid, there were other processes like corrupting watch taking them to court. Then, in February, which we were not aware, which came later, in the initial application it was not even able. Corrupting watch in February, they amended their notice of motion. They said that 316, as such, you should not even have paid it at all.
Therefore, the AG and National Treasurer's Admin of Irregular, we don't take it. This amount is prudent and waste of time. But only when they give us this information later, then that, you know, there are these other issues. And in the court case of that, they also indicate why the argument say it's not even a regular, what AG and National Treasurer say in Guinea, this should not have been taken at all. But all this information is known, the CFO can tell you that we like to see and the legal system and we discuss, let them bring the documents, it will follow the normal process of the discussion.
Right.
Thanks, Chair and honorable members. For SASA, we are having 6 cases I can confirm. And social development is 10. Structure is 16. And just to end, I'm sure in the media you have heard a lot of arrests around Cape Town, Blackstock, Gauteng, Outra, up to KZN. It was a big major investigation that was conducted. So social development and SASA were cooperating, and I wish the new management will do the same.
With the explanation that was just given by Treasury, which also has the very same sentiment, I think, I'm not sure how to say what you said earlier on in Venga or Shanghai. We are going to get answers and we're going to get action. The person that I need to speak to is the person that's accounting for SASA. I don't need a person for the department. I need a person of SASA. And please have your annual report to me. Because we are going to start with page 85. On page 85, there's a lot of definitions and explanations of everything that are either observations of the Auditor General and the observations of SASA as the implementing agent, I say. The 1.12, there's fruitless and wasteful expenditure explanation. And in that explanation, I would just like to extract the very first paragraph, which says, fruitless expenditure means expenditure which was made in vain and would have been avoided had a reasonable care been exercised. That's the long and short of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And that's what I would like to see also answer. Now, let's go to page 68, the observations of the Auditor General, which have driven this whole, not debate, but trying to have you to account on public money, which was wasted in vain. Number one, the first observation he makes is say compliance with legislation. And the compliance with legislation means all pieces of legislation that
that you were supposed to have abided with in making any of the decisions that are involving money that belongs to the public. One of them being the PFMA, from section 38 up to section 52. It guides you, it tells you everything else that you must do. And in incurring the wasteful and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, why did your department not comply with the legislation? That's my first question. First observation of the issue.
Working very closely with the auditor, that general. And once you look into the cases themselves that have happened over the years, you realize that there's not, in 2014-15, the Auditor General has indicated that the agency does not implement conflict management. If you look at the report at the end of March 2016, you will see that the movement in terms of the cases that were part of the Prudential Government, which were dating back to 2012, 2013, 2013, 2014. And the number of those cases were finalized because of the driven. So the internal audit did raise issues in relation to many reports that they've done. However, the expenditure that we're talking about, internal audit also does the same thing when they look at transactions. And in an agency like that, also you may find that the transactions that are sampled are not necessarily the transactions that probably the AG would pick up. What we have put in place now, and I can confirm, is that we have also appointed or made one responsible senior manager, supply chain management, to do compliance. And
when the agency was established, we're waking up now. I'm sure the federal government is going to have to keep it today. We deal with what the organization is. Why was this thing not there? Because it was supposed to be. So, I hear you're going to have a conversation. The horse makes a noise. That's what we have to do.
Let me move. We'll get the answer to that when we get to the end. Then there's the next of the observation is leadership. And in that one, I want you to declare leadership means that you are able to make every person under you account. And leadership means that you take responsibility and take your job and your job description very seriously in a manner that either quarterly or monthly, everybody accounts to you. Now my question is, how frequent do you call your managers to your office to come in and count?
Yeah, I can only refer to the structures for the final sound, but they have never been in such a first time.
Where were you?
The what I'm going to implement, I can only talk about what's going to happen on SAFA and continuation of what I've been doing with TST, whereby I have of course, sit with my executive on a regular basis. And we've got desk calls, we've got main calls, we've got all the infrastructure that I've added there to get all these things out in place. I have not seen on SASA on what is taking place, but I'm going to continue what I've been doing in DST and taking forward. That's all I can say right now, Chairman. I don't need to refer for me to say that I can't account on why the previous COT.
Well, if you pretend you're here to account for the DST, or you can't account
going forward.
No, what I like about being in the department is that next year is going to be another financial year very same time, and you will be coming in to account. By that time, there will not be anything. Now let's go to the breakdown on expenditure management. Firstly, you are accounting for the 10.9 million. And there is a 4 million damage of vehicle. There is a 1.2 for the Mikondo.
I don't see the other money. Where is the remaining? Before we talk to these other two, I want to know where is the other one. We are accounting here. You are accounting for 5.2 million. Where is 2.8? In actual fact, 4.7.
Yes, that's not really the collective balance. The portion which is not included there is also the previous year included in the another phase to the close projection set from about 3.5 million. That was done in the previous phase. I think that's the amount
Who's responsible for that waiting? And wait on.
You want to take the
The matter is under discussion between our SASA and the mother department and DSD as to what is involved, the close protection of officials within the DSD. That's why we had a contract that was extended to DSD. And that amount, we disclosed it as a bootleg pending the finalization of the discussion between and production.
There you go. I hear what you're saying. And the fact that the amount is not disclosed on this document, you are only explaining it to us now. Who between you and the CFO is going to be responsible to get that money back? It's a waste. It was made in vain. Who is between the two of you who's going to get that money back?
I think, like I indicated, that between ourselves we have to really look at how we need to deal with it, because this transaction was made by the accounting authority to extend those officials within the GSD with an alert and allegation that there was an agreement between the former CEO of SASA and the former DG of GSD. Yes, I was not privy to that discussion except the documentation that I think we did not include the signed agreement in relation to that. But for the first disclosure of the financial statement, I had to make a call that the transaction as it is without the document that I wanted, for now I can account for this as a process of the student expenditure, because that will be the first disclosure of that transaction. The process going forward is the meeting, the pending meeting that we'll have to really agree with DSD in terms of that. There's the correspondence between ourselves and DSD and different interpretations between ourselves and the mother's family in that situation.
When are you finishing that discussion amongst yourselves so that you can finish us with the same statement?
It shouldn't go beyond the details of the conclusion of that thing.
Chairperson, this assist us when can they report back on that matter?
What point of the question? What is that to come to? If you are failing to reach a conclusion at this point, because you disagree, just when disagreeing, so I don't know. We do disagree on some of the issues. Because it's that I wanted to get the paper at the hand.
because I extended the contract to them. However, they wanted a sign off agreement between the DG and the CEO, which I can't provide in this regard. But my engagement with the former CEO, we did have a discussion, and she indicated that there was a discussion and agreement between the accounting officer and the accounting company, which I was not privy to that agreement, which was not necessarily true in writing. The only document that I can come with is the document that was approved by SASA CEO, indicating that we should extend those services to the mother child.
So
the official person just did that.
So, if that is the case, why was it not just classified in the relationship? If services were rendered from tenants but without the necessary documentation in place.
I think the interpretation is because SASA did not necessarily receive the direct benefit of it, because DSD was supposed to look after their own officials, not SASA looking after the DSD official. I think that's why they come.
So what problem does DSD have to pay back the money if they want the service, which they knew they were anyway supposed to pay for themselves, unless if they say those services were frivolous, they were not necessary. I mean, at that point of contention.
Thank you, Chair. This is something that we're going to have to finalize during the case. We are lucky that the acting DG at that time was the CEO of SASA, and that's going to give us
I'm myself in a proper situation right now. Because I'm the one that does the business to pay the man on the other side. Because you need a control from the other side. What is it that you've got? So now I'm on the CEO side, and I need the economic side, so we'll have to finalize the business for the future.
What happened?
So there were threats. I understand. There were threats that were people were told, and CPS was involved, and there was a report that was written that there was some security that was actually taken for certain officials within the department because of those threats that were taken. What I did not
know. There are threats of officials in the department. How does that come from?
That's the problem that I had in the area that was supposed to be done on the side of. I do not know whether or not privy on what was taken because I was told that this is what has happened. And then I said, give me the proof of what has happened so that we can be able to settle that. There was the argument between myself and the CEO and all this. So then I asked the CFO and the CFO of DSD to sit down and analyze. That's what is happening.
But you got the service protection. Are they there? Do they confirm that yes, you got the service?
Yes, the officials are there. That's got the service. They confirm. Now the problem is that if we are going to pay money, we need to say what money is to pay. So we create that's the reason why. And then they need to sit down to write up, to write up, so that we can approve in our service.
And both of them, some come from the very same department, and the people are there. what is difficult on asking them, who did you employ to safeguard your well-being or health? How much did they cost? And report back to us. Otherwise, the money must be paid back. That's grant money. We need a day that you are reporting.
Because it is the one contract is missing which we need. They should tell the department to take responsibility of guarding DFT officials. And I think for me that is a great part that needs to be. When people just interested in having a phone, having doors open for them, all that kind of stuff. But when will you control this? Because at the end of the day, even if DSP pays, which is fine, but the question is, why did it happen in the first place? How did it happen? I mean, DSP is a mother department, the doctor is not an agent. How do we shall deal with a problem and doctor take the initiative to attend to it? I think if you clear that,
thank you, Chair. I think this issue should not take up more than 7 days to be controlled, not even 31st of December. The CASA and DLP potentially belong to the same family. Then actually, and physically ascertain what was the contact with the behalf of CASA, what is the liability of the DLP, and resolve that. I don't think we should drag this up. We would be able to give you an answer by the end of this month.
Next to Quincy. I'll come back to you probably. That's what I said. No. She wants to finish and the main person, the major plan, will then allow your plan.
Okay. Now let's go to Nicole. I'm not going to accept any explanation because it's self-explanatory. Someone decided to throw a party, and in that party, executive authority was not synchronized or correct. They could not address each other in terms of the whereabouts of the executive. Because this event, according to your explanation, was supposed to have been addressed by the executive authority. And then the executive authority could not make it or was not available. And therefore, the money just went like that. 1.2 million. Who's responsible for that payment? It's self-explanatory. We don't need explanation. You have given us the explanation of the company. Who is responsible?
That's the planning. There was the conversation with the diet of the president. However, in the last minute, the executive had to be committed to other required government implementation. And that's the report. The array on the program had to be postponed. And we negotiated with the service provider to get them to postpone. However, it was too late because some of the service providers had already delivered the service because the marquee was being electronic. So there was no way that we would have preempted the engagement in the last minute of the executive. And that's how it happened. So who's responsible? It's the whole issue of how we really need to deal with the investigation and finalization of that expenditure in terms of the investigation.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
our next conversation allows the minister to talk to the issues that she may want to talk to. And of course also talk to the Western Cape on those events. From that of 2016 to the minister in March. Obviously, there was nothing the commission could do if the minister, they are not around. They either had to continue the program or cancel it. Why did you cancel it? You can answer the question. But clearly, it's not the minister wants to tell you. But yeah, let me give you a minute or two from the minister. So far, to the issues that have not been told in any other country. But to me.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, and everyone in the meeting. The reason we could not attend, or I could not attend the Mikondo event on the 30th of March 2016, was because of the deployment by the Office of the President, and I could not say no. And also the Deputy Minister was not available, and we tried to look for any other minister to attend, or Deputy Minister, but no one was available. I think what I'm going to ask my office to do is to find out where exactly we were on that day, so that we confirm the deployment. And I must say that it's regrettable that this had to happen. That's number one. And number two, the issues of security.
But maybe before we step on that, just to check when they check where you were deployed, but just to also check in your office, was there any communication with the president to indicate that you were an event? If I'm not there, the event will cancel. There will be
I want to be honest, Chairperson, we did not write a letter to say we have this event. And I think that was the very wrong part or wrong decision on my part, because we should have done that, because we've just done it recently with other events or other responsibilities. Okay, with the issue of the security tenure or continuing with one company for a long time. I want to state that firstly, I was shocked to get a condemnation, and at the same time, after a few days return, I thought the treasury was very accurate. They would do all their work and then give us either a condemnation or just a condemnation. I felt it very unfair to get a condemnation and get a withdrawal immediately after the issue appeared in the maiden item. It was simultaneous. And when something like this happened, you begin to wonder what is going on. And then again with the tender, I want to be honest, Chairperson. Supply chain went through the process. They then did a due diligence in various offices. And then the report was very scanty. And a security companies with a track record were said to be not fit to deliver this service. And this happened after we received communique from the accountant general about the decision of the SANT company that did the investigation in the department. And I said, no, please, we don't want, when the executive authority consulted with me, I said, no, I don't want to be at the same position because we've just received a communication from the accountant general. Let's start the process again. That was number one. But also, I want to be honest, I've raised this with the Minister of Finance, that sometimes there are challenges that we face as the department, where our officials would talk to the officials in the treasury, and you find people that are not in the full employ of government coming to say, look, if you don't approve the decisions of the past tender, treasury will suspend all the security companies for 6 months, and they will need a new company. And exactly that happened. We received a bad letter from the treasury. Now, okay, about SIENT, I wish to mention that immediately after receiving a letter from the accountant general, we stopped their services because we understood the issues that were raised by the accountant general, and we then discussed the matter with the officials concerned, and then they took the matter to court. So I thought I should also raise that matter.
Do you remember how long it was from when the SAPNT started working to when they were stopped? Was it 6 months? Was it a year?
It was 18 months. It was immediately after receiving a letter from the accountant general.
Their initial contract, what was the value of the initial contract? What was the value of that contract?
It was lesser. I think it was in the range of 30 million.
OK,
Okay, let's come back with the.
Don't remember two things I want. What was the period of the duration of the tender, and how much was it worth?
The duration that was agreed. It ran until July.
That was fine, but what was the overall?
$75 million.
Yeah. And then after waiting for half the period, it was $74 million.
No, the earth was at the end. Their contract was only left with about 5 times of that.
18 months plus 5 months makes it here. Or it was the amount of work that they already had.
The amount of work that they have already done, currently at 74.5.
I think on the issues of action taken on the issues of fraud, on a yearly basis, we sit down as the department, LGA and SASA, because when you have to take a decision of expelling a pupil, you need to hear what the whole story line, and in some of the areas would turn back the decision for further investigation, because you think that the superior was too much on a junior, and but we have taken action on such a matter, and the recent ones are the ones of KwaZulu-Natal, where you have a syndicate on a foster care grant, where you have social workers, SASA, health officials, the police, magistrates, conniving and giving out foster care to people that do not exist. And this has also happened in Wimbulu, and we are also going to act, and the disciplinary processes will be starting as soon as possible.
The criminal actions are being part of what the general secretary spoke about. I'm sure in such cases, not just narrative action, but in criminal action.
I think some of the issues are involved. But let me just end there.
No, I guess you already said that any instance where people have acted in the manner that you just described, the full light of the law must come to bear on them without any exception. You just want to make sure that it is not only just you as the department taking action, but that this matter has brought to the attention of the agency.
Yes. And then the 316, I think it's going to be a protracted war, because when we were busy with the registration process, we discovered a number of things. We had to add a home visit, a hospital visit, and the other institutions where our people are. But secondly, we could not conclude the re-registration process, and then we had to extend it. And thirdly, we had to at some stage continue with the work up until 8 o'clock in the evening, and we had to transport people back home and we had to extend some of the services that were provided by various people or businesses so that we can be able to complete our work. And yes, maybe what we did was very wrong, but I wish to mention here that we saved a lot of money for SASA, and that does not justify any wrongdoing, and that the whole process has aligned our work as SASA. And this process is also going to add value to taking over the payment of a grant as a SASA. I thought I should raise that, though I don't agree to or condone wrongdoing, but I must say that even internationally, SASA is being recognized for that process, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
I would like to put the minister that probably that in my own view, the capital. I would imagine that the mental problem was coping. I mean, if you issue out a tender and say you have 9 million people, and then it turns out to be almost more than double that number, then it means that if you're planning level, people will just come back in. I mean, all the things that you need to do, it's better to take a long time planning. Take a long time planning and start. So when you implement, you have everything in place. Otherwise, we'll never do it because our planning will be done for us. Before I let you leave, COVID, I'm sure you can make that big announcement here. I'm saying the thing that the question that they COVID rather than one place about separate CPF coming to an end. Happen. Are we going to see a dictation for smaller than a month, 6-7, whilst we try to get our heads together? Are we, well, that will be our concern, and I think the CEO was very confident. I thought, okay, maybe it's really deliberation because maybe the spokesperson said you will make an announcement. But we are anxious. Come April, are we ever remembering that actually even this lapsing period is actually a product of not having been ready earlier? Are we going to be ready? Are we everything this way? Cash and transit companies, have they already been, have they been tendering? Have they been appointed? Are we going to start those things? Where are we?
Chairperson, I know that this committee does not have time to keep on doing one and the same thing, but I would request that we be given time to come back and report on the processes. But work streams have already started doing the work. And we are looking on a number of issues from solutions that we have to implement for the future, readiness issues and risks that are related to processes, the issues of value chain performance and efficiency, and improve SASA compliance. And then our cyber space, because as we improve our work as syndicates, also improve the way they steal our money. We've also, as SASSA, developed our IT section, because we think that we should deal with the issues of IT as SASSA, not give it to external companies that have that can refuse to be.
Methods that you are outlining one by one will have been finalized and will be created. And not any information. Because even this trifecta thing we're talking about here, it was 10 years. And the contract is coming to an end of November. Already there's an extension. That's one job.
Thank you. Chairperson, just one more thing on the Mekong, because we were in the midst of the Mekong.
and we established that now, but the 1.2 million was due to the fact that the minister and the deputy minister were not available and they couldn't find anybody else. And a directive was issued that they must be elsewhere. Now, accounting officer was going to be responsible for the money that has been wasted. Now my question is, who's going to be responsible for the 1.2 million which was wasted? Because it was wasted. And the explanation is not enough to a person who doesn't have a grant at all.
This is a very difficult to answer. Because the minister has explained to how it happened and we couldn't just carry on with the event. And it was not on the level of the officials that they stopped the event. The event was stopped because we could not carry on with the
okay. Chair, you indicated that the minister will come back. You know, Chairperson, if ever we start allowing situations of this nature, that a president, that if a person gets a directive elsewhere, that goes that way, and they do not even indicate that we have an event that could cost the country thousands to millions if I'm not there, and nothing is put in place to ensure that the public place is safeguarded, we will be faulting this committee. And therefore, if the CEO says it's going to be difficult, I'm worried how many other directives is going to get and consider them. And that's not going to be accepted. The better directive to do this, simply because it's from executive, and you're doing it not within the constraints of the law. And we must sit here and listen to explanation. The executive also comes and says, TFMA aside, everything else, AG aside, if I have to be elsewhere, whatever event that comes along or which is scheduled for me to go and attend, money can be wasted. That's a very wrong treatment. Hopefully the minister is coming back, and therefore the minister will be able to tell us who's going to take the responsibility if the CEO can tell us who's going to take the responsibility.
And you see, there's no official here who goes above the law. If this official can't take responsibility, then we have to deal with it. There's no other one who's going to tell us who is responsible, that he can't be asked that question. The law says that he said it himself. He accepts responsibility. What did you think he was saying, Chapter 10? He thought that he didn't know what is the result here. This is not a what is the result. He must be able to answer questions. He can't redirect us. If he can't, then he must resign. There's no way we're going to allow ourselves to be told by officials what to do and what not to do. He must answer questions. It's his question, it's his responsibility. He belongs in the department. When he took the job, he took it with all the responsibilities. We can't be telling us to go look at the expenses. Scopa does it, and the law says so. Why don't we wait for the executive to come when we know for a matter of fact that the executive can't be put into under fire because he is responsible. Unless he wants us to rewrite SCOPA now in front of him to make him to feel comfortable, then all officials must do the same. We can't be writing rules for a particular official there. He must take responsibility. He must be able to tell us that he's going to pay back his money or not. That's simple like that. We can't be a director. And that's what the rules is.
Let me just specify what my friend is saying. In terms of the law, so we are guided by the law. It is very clear in terms of the PFFA. And I think that the Honorable is asking us, that's the simple question. Because if you read PFFA, that is in terms of the responsibilities of the accounting officer, it says, and it says must. That's what I like. Must effectively and appropriate. He must take effective and appropriate steps to collect all monies due to the department. And this is very simple. There's no way that we are saying I can't take responsibility. In terms of a contract and in terms of the law, that's what you're supposed to do. And we are not going to look around for somebody who's going to assist us in that. We know that the accounting officer is here, that's our responsibility. As to who do you go to, something else.
Alright. Come back to you, Congress. I allowed the point of order. The point of order. A point that not really useful. Yes, Congress.
CEO, earlier on when I started, I said, there is a document which guides you. The PFMA from 38, section 38, all the way to section 52. It guides you, it tells you everything. In 38, it's telling you exactly what one other member just said, in terms of what you should do. Now, let's leave Mikondo. When you answer, you're going to get to tell us that where, how are you going to collect that money.
Now let's check to
the 4 million rand of the base. 4 million rand damages to vehicles, that's for 2015 and 2016. We have 9 provinces, and then you have all the suffer open. And I'm wondering, these officials of SAFA that are driving so recklessly, that it cost the department 4 million rand. How many of them have been fired? Can we get that report? Let's go to what you are saying. You have sent some for the recovery. Have you recovered the money or is within the debt collected? Have you already recovered the money or is still within the debt collected?
It is still within the monthly deduction of the official because you have to look at the competency and the financial situation of the official. And be able to really get the money to recover. So the debt are carried around and direct deduction from the payroll.
How much have you recovered?
I don't have the exact figure in this calculation for me.
When you were coming here, did you sit down and prepare, or you just didn't know?
state is the amount that we have taken debt from the city that is used to service through a monthly installment. I think that's the context that we need to understand that for the board.
No, no, for the last time, Chairperson, can I ask you to the official to ask a question? I mean, the member is here to ask a question. She's basing it on the report given to her. She's running a department here, Chairperson. If he has answers, he must answer. There's no Christmas party here. Can you tell us exactly what is going on? We're not equal, Chairperson. And the member is correct. You can't continue keeping Parliament with his name. It's not about individuals. It's about 100 members here. And give the respect that we all. I mean, we don't need particular respect. There's no way we can allow this member to, I mean, this official to think that he can tell us what he thinks. He provided a report that we're acting on a particular report they put in front of us. And the member is asking that question.
All right. Okay.
Okay, Chairperson, within the 4 million, you're indicating, whatever you're indicating, 1.9 to the debt to cover resources, fine. And the 2.1 million, you are saying it went down the drain because due to your investigation, some of these cases, you have found people not to be negligent. And I find it very hard to believe because we do not have a breakdown that talks to each vehicle and each accident and what is it. Because if either cars, all of these cars were written off, it looks like that. It can't be a fender fee that amounts to 2 million. It cannot be life that was broken. So it means that it's just serious accident, everything is written off. You are literally buying new cars for the department, not damaging. 4 million cannot talk to cars being repaired. It's literally buying new cars for the department. Therefore, Chairperson, I'm going to request the department to provide us under this 4 million with this accident. We have 9 provinces. And this amount must talk to each accident. We can't have a blanket approach of 4 million and then we are covering 1.9 million. And the 1.9 must also talk to individuals and which positions are they occupied, because you cannot have a level 5 official saying more than, I'm sure they are earning about 10 or 12. So you can't, according to the law, you cannot take more than a certain percentage of that money. And therefore, if ever that person accident exceeds 100,000, that person is going to go on pension pay and you can't recover that money. So we need all these details by next week, Wednesday. And then lastly, you indicated
we will check.
Lastly, you are indicating that there are investigations by SASA and then there are some by the SIU. Just forgot which slide is that. And on the cases that are within SASA, no, the ones that are at the SIU, how many of those people have been arrested already? How many of those cases are finalized and people that are arrested? Then with the ones that are within SASA, how many cases, how many disciplinary hearings are you having and how many are dismissed for misusing the public test? Let me assist you. It's not within your slide. It's within the annual report. That's what you told the AG. That's why you can't find it now. Investigations were conducted by the Fraud Management and Compliance Unit of SASSA and the Special Investigating Unit on request of the AG. That's what you provided to the AG, you didn't provide to us. So how many of these things are happening? Because the AG believes that you are at least implementing some of the consequences. But here you have been afforded us an opportunity to see who is in jail and who has been dismissed from the service.
Chair, can we, when we bring the information next week on Monday, can we add that information so that we can verify it?
That is fine.
Thank you. Right. Are you okay with that? All right, comrades, any follow-up questions? Chairperson of the control committee, I'll start with you.
Because we're dealing with historic issues here. That is why I wanted directly the former acting CEO to give us information immediately that could have clarified some of the issues. One being the one that says, if indeed the matters that were being raised as questions in terms of the activities of the former CEO of SASSA. No, can I finish, please?
First of all,
just when you say that, Chairperson, that our responsibility as of the Union of the Union, if the Chairperson were allowing me to do that, then she must sit on the other side so that we can interrogate them. And we don't want to go to that. We want to be allowed to exercise our power as well. Can you please?
I'm still
listening. Thank you, Chair. What I'm raising here, if the former CEO has all these allegations and the expiry date of the termination of a hair contract, why is it that that was not fast-tracked to ask these questions? Because now we are talking about as if the term was not known, and yet the cases were already having been identified. That's why I was wanting that the one who took over to tell us why she was allowed to leave with all these monies not having been accounted for. Thank you.
I was
team.
All right, no, that's fine. Commissioner, I think I hear your point, that the methods that we're dealing with were known before the contract of the previous CEO was signed, and there was no effort to have this method followed after, which would be very clarifying on the matter. I hear your point.
No, no, Chairperson, you know, when we rain from the roof, make us aware. Because you can't be driving at the department and when you keep inside the department. But there's no way you will be going. We are not pigmenting, or we are not trying to find the solution, or we are not trying to go to find an official. One official is supposed to account. That's what we are doing here. And if there's been other legacy, we have not been told here. We are interested in accounting for the central government. Now that you want to recognize the fact that somebody is acting in here, this department, Chairperson, from where we are seated, is that every time they come to Scopa, they change the officials. There's nothing new with what is happening here. We will come to that conclusion. And you know, for a matter of fact, it's been happening from people. When this time comes, they change people. It's not a new department. And we must now see the problem of looking for officials and people that are not here. Don't pretend as if you don't know this information, Chairperson.
Okay, all right. Yes?
Chairbomber, Chairperson. And Bulele, Mababa, Rashid, Ava, and Bulele Sanongenzi. I think my Chairperson, Mama Thapa, will help me in translating the visual. I have a mood, a comment. I'm going to make a call in Yavon. And the teacher in terms of Mama Dada. So, this is our known prayer to CEO and all chat. This was a well known data. The girl of food. Obok was on this and just as in fire up on Ocean. Quick pressure in the fire. Nanjen by the inflammable walk. Don't go away. Sing a piece of music. Who's a void? Obaga no coco car. Abon abon abantu. Ababa uksu. Naba soko layo. Naba basilka. As a funo grief, as funo we were not quarters in shame. Tina grinning at the land of life. And in the attempt, I go by a corner, it's plain of action. For your own getting just the same, take back in your app, please. If I change it, zinc for me. I'm a new man, your truth. You wear, Chairperson, go back a look. As officials, then this is the job. There's a powerful system in Lekuzo. Okokuba zibe zenza umsebenzi onguwo for ukunceda abantu. Imbi kakhulu into esiyivayo apha. Kunam nam kujulelwana ngebhola endaweni yokokuba size izinto ezibalulekileyo. Ndiyabonga, Chairperson.
Right.
to hear you enough. All right, I want us to tie this one down patiently waiting for his 10 to 15 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Chairperson, with regards to the question on the regular expenditure, I spoke about the claim. Certainly this was also explained in terms of business and wasteful expenditure. That's the event by my colleagues. But the Nkonzo event poses a massive problem with the minister admitting that there is no correspondence between myself and the Office of Competitiveness. And perhaps that's indicative of the trend of financial mismanagement in the department. And hopefully next Wednesday they can provide us some answers to that question in this regard. But this is a serious offence in terms of Section 38 of the Public Finance Management Act, and specifically Section G. On discovery of any unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure must immediately be reported. If the minister was aware that there was an expense that was fruitless and wasteful, there was no action taken to notify pressure. And then the secondary mark by the minister with regards to fruitless and wasteful was also a point of concern, and through the council clarification, if not now, next time when the minister is present. The minister indicated she was shocked with the condemnation and then the withdrawal. And to a certain extent, they put a certain aspersion on treasury there on the intervention and then the draw. But, you know, in my mind, treasury also has the right in terms of the Constitution, Section 2162 of the Constitution, where they can even withhold the money from any department if there's a persistent breach in terms of expenditure irregularities. So I need the minister to take note of the Section 2162 of the Constitution, and where we find in this managerial response from the department today to be many, many inconsistencies, especially with regards to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which indicate the trend, the same trend as in terms of the regular expenditure. And we would like to make an appeal to the department to next Wednesday to give us more clarity in terms of our presentation as we chair. Thank you, Chair.
Just note, if there is a question, if there are comments,
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just wanted to find out on the issue of the between the agency and the department, that issue of the security issue, the land payment of itself. One thing that maybe one will have an interest to find out is, did you use the service provider or did you use the person will continue if I can just get the difference in terms of that. Was it provided by SAP or was it provided by an independent security service?
It was a mixture of the two. There were subs and there was private security.
Thank you, Chairperson. On that follow up, I don't know whether it's the amount that is owed to
new friend, Rule 145, initiates the investigation. It's a problem.
we want the report from the police. Because obviously, clearly, when somebody says there is a search around my life, there will be a risk analysis done, you know, which then determines what happened. So initially, what does that report from the police? And can you, well, I'm sure you can do that now. Who are these officials who are trusted? What was their position and responsibility within the department of social group? All right, let's respond to all the questions on the follow up.
Thank you so much, Chair. On the private security, I think we'll answer it the amount owed on the private security, it was on the private security, not on the subside. So there was a comeback that was private, that was appointed to some of the, and then the CEO subsequently had the SAPS looking after him. And the official that had been was looked after, one was the head of communications, was involved in the issue of the personal truck case and the children of the minister on those that were handled.
Truck cases. Truck to truck.
Truck.
Truck to truck.
That's how I understood. I think they can explain it further. No, because I'm not sure.
Okay. Can you give information that helps me to understand?
Did you?
Thank you, Chair. What had transpired was the minister and some staff members had gone to Brazil to look at South African drug traffickers who were in prison. And following that, there were some threats, telephonic threats, to the minister and a few staff members. And one of the key staff members was the chief director of communications and the minister. Those were the two main ones indicated that the security was being provided for. I know that threat assessments were made. I'm not sure whether the threat assessments can be taken, but I know that steps can get those threat assessments. I know that I was threatened. I met steps. I was not in Brazil, but just my work was generally around such interviews. But I was not covered by the protected. I know that the threat assessments were made. I'm not sure if they were made for all the staff members. But this is the background to where the contracting possibly might come from. So it's essentially from, in the case of the minister, quite significant for it. I'm not sure what the severity and so that.
So, fine, let's have the report from SAP, as well as the officials that we covered. So when you say if the amount of case is covered, I'm sure they made a claim that from this time to that time, we're looking after. So if we can get that. Yeah, you can report to all the other.
The amount involved is 3.5 million.
Emergency, why was it an emergency or how was it an emergency?
The emergency was not necessarily for the payment. It was on the variation to the work. Because at that particular point, we needed to do the work, and we could not necessarily start with the project without the work goal. So it was not on the payment, it was on the work. It was approving the work that it must be done.
Okay. I think maybe that's what the department says from the fact that it is
out and use my traditional mode of living. They are captain officers. I am protecting people. If you need assistance, you get assistance from us. But I think we are familiar with touching the needs of the people. It's more or less like that discussion. But then let me congratulate you, because I can see that you're engaging a team on the past 2 years. Let's talk about first thing. You had an accumulated figure of 42.7, that is minimum, for the 3 years of the regular expenditure. Is that correct? That excludes the current one. Now, in the document that we have provided, this one, you are trying to explain to us or giving us details as to how you accumulated. But unfortunately, if I look at the very first page, for instance, if you look at the figures mentioned here and the figures that you have, that is in the report, they seem not to touch. But maybe you'll assist me on that. Let's look at, because the information presented here does not even assist me. Let me just indicate one simple thing. In your information, you do have one column that talks about reference number, the amount, the name of the service provider, responsible, that is chief directorate, responsible person, and that is the status. But it does not assist me in terms of the activity. Because if you mention the activity, then I'll be in a position that is to locate whatever money to whatever activity. Now that is included here. Unfortunately, it creates a problem that is in the interpretation that is of this document. Do you agree? Can I be assisted with that so that I can look at this document in relation, that is, to the amount spent, that is the activity? Let's just clean the document first. The other issue on the same document, it would be an irregular expenditure for 2014-15. Unfortunately, the pages are not numbered. It would be 1, 2, 3, and the fourth page. You are saying, that is on number 4, case removed. So just look at that, and there's no explanation as to why the case was removed. And also, on all the case removed, that maybe we get reasons or information as to what do you mean by it, and why was the case removed. Okay. And then let's also look at the same document. Let's start on top on the irregular expenditure for aging that is 42. If you look at the last column where I presume it's a status, you are saying that is these irregular expenditures are to be presented at the LOC. For LCC, is that correct? Are you by implication saying to us that no investigation was done, that is in 13-14 to date?
And this is probably a good place to start in terms of the column that just be presented at the health control committee. one of the things when I discussed with the team in terms of preparing is expenditure becomes irregular and oftentimes it becomes irregular through action through the loss committee. What I found is that the loss committee is dysfunctional. Actually, it's not been sitting. It's not been sitting to consider regularizing even expenditure that is legitimate. So what you're finding is that all of this is an indication of a loss control committee that has to be changed completely the next few days, if possible, because they are dysfunctional. Once the loss committee doesn't deal with the issue, it becomes very difficult to take cases for investigation. There's a chain. So essentially, the consequence management has not been there because the loss control committee, as a key governance institution, has not been operational. That's the assessment that I have made in the last couple of days. And work with the team in terms of remedial action is the one thing that we've got to change the loss committee. They have to be accountable. So what we've allocated is between the now and we've allocated 9 days between now and January for all the backlogs to be done. And that will also allow us to look at which cases are legitimate, which cases must be investigated, and so that we can actually engage in consequence management. So what we can also do in terms of the question asked by yourself is we need to improve on this table so that the actual activity is available. So if it's a car accident, if it's, so it's not just allocating which department and which unit in the department and who's very responsible for that, but also what was the actual activity. So we can see if those with me, you can verbally give some explanations. Some of the issues, but I think it's also important for us, in addition to the verbal explanations, to provide an updated form to the committee for the activities as well.
Thank you.
By implication, saying to me, the information provided for section 14 is not a correct information.
No, I think what we're saying is that the information is correct. Because what we're saying there is presented to the loss control committee. The loss control committee has not been sitting to even look at the issue that they've been presenting to them. They've not been correcting, they've not been meeting regularly, and that's another issue. So documents are being presented to them, but no action is being taken because they're not sitting and adjudicating the issue that's being put before them. So as it stands, it's correct. So it's presented, but there's no action being taken. Because they make not making, they're not deliberating and they haven't made decisions on the issues before them. So they haven't even, in many cases where there's legitimate expenditures, which will be not be irregular, they haven't even been able to regularize those issues. That makes it even difficult for us to look at in a very detailed way where are the issues that we may have to investigate further. There are some cases that have been briefed on that are being currently being investigated, that's been taken forward, where there's a clear indication from the side of the CEO and internal audit that there's a problem. And they're taking that forward, irrespective of whether the last committee has been sitting or not. But that's not good enough. We need to actually work through all of these cases meticulously so that we know what is regular, what is regular, what is actually the issue that we must be investigating.
So the difficulty is that I have, when you just complain when you receive the letter from the chair, because the information that they're giving me now, they're confirming that this is not that is the correct information, and I've made my preparation based on what you provide.
See, what I'm saying is that the information that you have there is correct. When we said we basically only have the. It's incomplete. It's correct. It's incomplete.
No action that has been taken. The loss control committee. Self loss control.
Yeah.
But my colleague
Mesa also spoke about, that's what we know. But I'm still on this page. I'm saying that we issues of time and with the comrades outside the door patiently waiting to come in. I'm not sure how we handle this. Why don't we what is going to happen to this information? What is the action taken? The investigation and determination of whether this is something that is better information from us. So maybe let's wait to get that information and then we'll see the information of what's going on. So that we are able to vacate.
No, Chair, I respect you and your opinion because I think the team is coming in. But let me indicate that there are quite a number of issues that I need a clarity at this moment. And I don't know, maybe you can let's agree on a process as to how am I going to get that information at this moment.
They are one. Pakistan, they will send the information back to us. They will look at this and how.
No,
that
I understand. Well, maybe what we then need to do over and above the issues that we have raised, as I indicated, there are quite a number of issues that we still need a clarity for them. Maybe we can also improve on those issues so that when they respond, they respond.
That's fine. Who will take this? And